You're listening to Coriander Society Adventures, a Casters and Castles production. This is episode 21, Scholars, Soldiers, Spies, and Seances.
Welcome back to Coriander Society Adventures. Joining us as always, we have Beatdown Cast, Ninja Matt, and Pods of War, and your faithful game master, Tormented by Gnomes.
Happy to have everyone with us. Yay!
Hello!
Hi.
Oh my god. What was that?
I ate those tangerines too quickly.
That happens.
They didn't. My
tangerines.
You know, pieces of a tangerine.
Like... Yeah.
Yeah. I apologize to everyone. I have run out of creativity juice. Improv juice. So I'm down to water.
Glorious
improv, you don't need the improv juice anymore, or it was just water all along. I like
exactly.
That
exactly. The real improv was inside of you the whole time. You never needed the magic
juice. Made
along
the way.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I need creativity juice. Yeah.
Space Jam was actually one of the greatest films of all time. I just can't get over it. Yeah, you can't.
Uh-oh, we got more beatdown hot takes today.
it can get way hotter.
Oh my.
Dude, Space Jam 2 is going to come out. We can get way hot.
Actually,
good.
I can't wait for the Space Jam 2 discourse. That's going to be a great time to be alive. Will Space Jam 2 be problematic? We'll find out. If you're just joining us for the first time, Coriander Society is a 5th edition Pulp Heroes multiverse adventure. Our heroes are currently in the city of Northport. Two of them hail from this world, one of them is from beyond. They're on the trail of the Angel Killer, who has struck over the last 10 months throughout the city. They have a primary suspect, but they suspect it's actually an entire group of killers who may not even be human. The mysterious society, Army of the Eclipse, is linked to these killings. There's some sort of a ritual going on. You can watch the rest of our show on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/castersandcastles, to get caught up. But when we last left our heroes, let's do a quick recap, and then we have business to take care of. We have business to attend to immediately.
That's ominous.
That's a good way to put it. I agree. Oh,
what does that mean?
Well, we have an act of God. So. Hey, some of them are good. Some of them are good.
Oh, true.
Yeah, I only ever advertise the bad ones because I know what chat wants. Chat wants chaos. Like, let's not...
Chat wants ninjas.
Chat always wants ninjas.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So, when we last left our heroes, they'd rescued a bunch of gifted people with supernatural abilities from the laboratory of Dr. Zorbius Brandt and escorted the vast majority of them to the Donahue Academy for the Gifted, where they should be safe under the auspices of Headmistress Hara, a terrifying lady of indeterminate age with silver hair and just this aura of menace about her. One of those gifted who was rescued is actually Florence Giotto, the daughter of Lincoln Giotto, the criminal mastermind behind the Column crime organization. So Gaston, Beatdown's character, is trying to find a way to help her because her gift is turning her body into shadow, and if it's not held in check by incredibly bright light all the time, she's going to disappear. Gaston has promised to bring all of his research notes to Hara so that they can collaborate on a way to safely transport her, because Florence Giotto is still at Gaston's laboratory on the other side of the city. So she's in this pod of glowing goo that's keeping her alive, unconscious, and from turning into shadow. Asena just had a meeting with Philip Carrington, who's a member of the rich Carrington family. I think he's the youngest member of the family. He's one of the youngest members of the family. Involving the investigation into an expedition to the Zulquian jungles many years ago, an expedition during which Asena was orphaned, stranded in the jungle to be raised by wolves. She has no memory of her past, but she recently came to the shocking discovery that Philip Carrington was on that expedition and that he had an older sister who went missing. Dun, dun, dun!
Woo! Crazy times, man.
Right? John, meanwhile, was planning on going to go talk to Dr. Oren Strickland at the university in the hopes of unearthing some more information about the Army of the Eclipse and the ancient Zolkwian ruins that they went to on this doomed expedition to see what he can find out. Have I missed anything, team?
Is the ambulance still after me?
The ambulance?
The ambulance full of clowns and crazy stuff that happened during my caper of getting the car back.
Oh, no. You escaped from all of that, and you got Opal Donahue's car back after all that. You managed to get rid of the medical clowns.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, they transcend all universes.
Side quest.
Anything else I may have dropped or forgotten?
No, I think you about covered it.
I mean, honestly, there's so much that goes on. Yes, you have. But
look, if it doesn't register in your brains as important, it can't be important, right?
Yeah.
One of us.
Yeah.
We'll have an aha moment.
I don't know what's going on. Let's be real.
As long as each of you knows, like, what am I doing right now? So, Asena, Philip was going to take you across town to talk to his mother, Jasmine Ruiz Carrington, to see if perhaps you're his brother from the same... No, he's your brother from the exact same mother. So that's what was going on. Now, let's...
Or you could be Opal's sister, and then that could be a thing.
That is also That'd possible. Be weird. Opal.
Or you could have just been someone's kid that was on the plane, or, you know, maybe you're a wolf. Maybe you're actually a wolf. Yep. And you just turned into a human after seeing all these people crash, and you're like, yeah, this is my thing now.
That's not impossible.
The wolves are just going to unleash their revenge through me.
Yes, the forest reclaims itself.
The forest harbinger of death.
Mm-hmm. All right, chat. Let's talk about Acts of God. Subscriptions on our Casters and Castles Twitch channel can at every 10 subscriptions can trigger an Act of God. These are things that can change the course of the game. In the past of this show, we sort of just made it up along the way, but now we are equipped to handle it. So here's what I would like to do.
You were making it up along the way? I'm a dungeon master? We're just making things up on the fly?
Weird, right? It's as if that isn't in the job description.
You weren't prepared for every single circumstance that could possibly happen.
If there's anything I've learned about RPGs, it's that you need to be prepared to be spontaneous.
Yes.
True.
Yeah. All right. So... behold, the Act of God deck.
Ooh, shiny.
I would like each of you to roll 1d20.
Ooh.
Whoever gets the highest is going to draw from the deck.
Oh,
I want it. Damn it.
Oh, I didn't think 11 was going to get it.
All right. John, draw a card from the deck.
Are you guys ready for this? All right, all of us together on three. We're going to go from top to bottom. 1, 2, and 3, okay?
What?
1, 2, 3.
Hey!
Close enough.
One card, baby. What do we got?
It was supposed to go straight to the deck. I must have messed that up.
I can tell you what it is.
Reveal it. Throw it down.
Well, how do I reveal? I just clicked it.
Drag it from your hand to the...
Oh, bam! Mm-hmm. Revealed!
Imperiled.
You activated my trap card. You get out of here.
Huh. Oh no.
Civilians are in danger nearby, dragged into your current conflict or embroiled in a new threat.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Well, that changes things.
Yes, that's what Acts of God are supposed to do. All right. So,
Am I still away from the rest of the group when this happens?
Yeah, honestly, that makes the most sense. You were going to be away from the group, you were getting the car back, and then since you were already in the neighborhood, you were going to go visit Professor Strickland at the university.
Okay, so the last time that I was over there, I got attacked by what I think was the Army of the Eclipse, but I could not prove. Please don't make that happen again.
Damn. let me think about this. What would be okay? You're in Ivy Shores. Let me pull this up. So, again, to set the scene, Gaston is heading back to his laboratory to retrieve all of the notes and documents that he stole from that he liberated from Dr. Zorbius's laboratory. Asena is on her way right now to Jasmine Reese Carrington's penthouse apartment in the high financial district of Newton, and John, having retrieved the car from lockup, is heading over to Ivy Shores.
We're all split up right now?
Oh, yeah. The team is completely split up, but that's okay. Nothing bad ever happens when you split the party.
I think at least you two are kind of close to each other.
Like Zoink Scoob.
Like Zoink Scoob, we gotta get out of here before the ghost gets us.
That's a really good impression, but I feel like you gotta turn down the energy just a tiny bit. You really gotta display that you smoke a crap ton of weed. That's the thing I love about Shaggy.
Like, hey, Scoob.
Perfect. Getting there. Scoob, getting there.
Yeah.
Is that what Scooby Snacks were?
Maybe.
That was a children's show with Don Knotts at one point. So where are we now, Joe?
Okay. John, as you make your way to the Northport Provincial University.
Yeah.
Ivy Shores is gently curving streets, winding along among large white houses, because the university sort of dominates this entire neighborhood. It's almost like its own college town.
Yeah.
It's a small, bustling commercial strip. There's small apartments and boxy little homes for the students who are studying there. The museum here is quite famous. It's got one of the finest collection of antiquities in the world.
You don't say.
Yeah. Including some mysterious artifacts transported from the Zolquian jungle that don't match any known culture in the area.
Hey, mate, real quick. Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt, but the portal, is that here? Somewhere around here?
Yeah, it's in the museum. It's literally in the museum right
here. Yep, just
right here.
Oh, that one. That one that says the Northport State Museum of Natural History. Okay.
Yeah, it's there. That is the portal.
Cool. Nice. Mm-hmm.
It's sort of malfunctioning. It doesn't work great, but it's there. Okay, John. As you make your way into a team, before we move on with this, what time of day is it? You got a pretty early start, so I'm thinking it's probably noonish. Does that sound about right?
Sounds right.
Okay. All right. John, as you make your way into the university, you see a gaggle of students nearby. They're talking to a professor. They're all having a conversation. It's actually Professor Strickland himself. As you walk up to the gymnasium where you do a little asking around, you're able to find him. And you can hear the sounds of a four-part barbershop quartet echoing through the gymnasium hall. It's one of Oren's hobbies. I believe he sings baritone. I believe he does the baritone part.
Okay.
And he's wrapping up with his students. You know, he and some other older gentlemen wearing the pinstripes and the hats and the canes. They've got the whole work, right? Looking very Main Street USA right now. And they're wrapping up. You're sort of waiting for your turn to talk to the professor. And he steps outside for a moment. And before you can move up on him, you see a couple of hulking, out-of-place people dressed up as students pulling up in a car, looking a little bit shifty.
Okay, when you say hulking, do you mean like Big Goon number 2 hulking? Or do you mean like Ben hulking?
No, like Big Goon number 2, not like Fire Bad.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Scary.
And do they seem to have ill intent, I would assume?
Roll an insight check.
All right, I will do that thing that you asked. Normal and insight. Bam.
All right. Oh, yeah, they are watching him. And they do not belong here at all.
Are we near a gymnasium or classrooms or anything that I could easily kind of do that thing? Or like, hey, professor, I've got a quick question, and like pull him somewhere that either is out of sight or with a lot of people.
Yeah, you just want to sort of like flag him down, get his attention, get him over there.
Yep.
Sure. Roll a persuasion check.
I can do that. I can super do that. Hey, can I actually, before this, when I'm still not being noticed, disguise myself to look just like just a student?
Yes. Are you using magic to do so, or are you just using your disguise kit? All right.
No, the disguise tent takes a little bit too long. I need to just match this up real quick.
Burn the spell points. Now, remember, when you presented your actual plan for getting the car back, you gave me a plan that involved casting certain spells. I'm going to charge you for casting those spells, not for casting whatever spell summoned a rubber chicken and attached it to a car battery. That was just me adding contextual flavor.
Yes. But, yeah, that was a lot of stuff, but it was a cool plan, and I'm fine with it. So, yes, I already burned all those spell slots. I'll burn these two right now. And okay, so I'm gonna just look like basically like your average Riverdale kid, you know, and well-to-do youngster, but has that kind of nice put together look, someone that Strickland would probably react well to. And I'll approach him. Oh, hey, professor, you know, academia stuff. I've got a test coming up that I think that you would be able to do something or other. Hey, look over here, and I'm gonna pull him over and have a nice little college style interaction with him. Let me roll that check that you asked me for. Oh, that's not the best, but hey!
That's a natural 20. All right.
Well, look at that.
Everyone in chat who guessed that we'd get a natural 20 first, congratulations. You get channel points.
Woo! I got points.
Oh, there were predictions?
Let's go. Yeah, we're throwing those in there as well.
That's cool.
You can only do option A or option B. Otherwise, I'd say who's going to beef it first. But, you know, between the three of you. But this is the world we live in. All right. Natural 20 on that persuasion check. So as you pull up, the car pulls like right up to the corner behind him. One of the students gets out of the car, walks behind, looks left and looks right, opens the trunk. The other car door opens. A big hulking goon walks out, ready to approach and to grab the professor and stuff him in the trunk. And at that exact moment, you distract him and he takes just a few steps away. You can see the goon's muscles twitch as he's reaching out to make the move. Then he looks around, sees that there's too many people watching, calls it off with a hand gesture, and then they all hop back in the car and they quickly drive off, attempting to not be noticed.
Mates, was I able to see that hulking goon?
Yes, you were.
I would like, as soon as he's out of immediate danger. Oh, you know what, Professor? I'm so sorry. I forgot. I've had to be in class in a moment. I'll catch back up with you later. And I'm going to tear off towards where that car is.
Okay.
I'm going to cast locate creature on that goon and trail the car.
All right. So do you have Opal's car at this point?
Yep.
All right, you're going to use Opal's car in order to get out of here?
Detail him, yeah.
Excellent. Are you proficient in land vehicles?
I don't know. Yes, I am. I'm half proficient at least.
That's true. Okay, go ahead and roll a land vehicles check and survival if you've got it as well.
I don't have land vehicles. How do I do that?
We'll call it a half proficient dexterity.
Wait, I do. I have query. I have query land vehicles. What the heck is this?
Query
I
just am means proficient.
I'm super proficient.
Oh my god.
Yes.
Excellent.
Give it to me.
Do dexterity for this.
Heck yeah. I can do that. Okay, how do I query this thing?
You click it, it should prompt you.
Oh, it prompts. Oh, fantastic. Here we go. I've never done a query check before. Oh, cool. 22.
All right. So the vehicle immediately heads off and starts driving north along Bailey Hook. And you are able, using magic to guide your way, you're able to trail them as they drive along the beach through the remaining piers, further and further from any different houses, buildings, or businesses. As you trail,
small amendment, if you don't mind, I realize I have locate object, not locate creature prepared, so I'm following the car.
Okay, locate object on the car. All right, using that magic, that still checks out. Burn the spell points, and we are going to check in with Asena. All right.
Oh, no.
Asena.
I'm nervous being alone.
You are. Oh, don't worry. Nothing ever bad happened in D&D when the party split up.
Yeah, I heard that's what. I heard that's the rules.
Mm-hmm. Chat, ask Joe about vampire doors one day.
What? Wait, I think I'm going to ask Joe about vampire doors one day.
We'll tell that story maybe after the break. For now, don't worry about it. I'm sure it's absolutely nothing to fear.
it's not a big deal.
All right, so that act of God has been resolved, but it still changed the plot. You have these goons to track. You'll find out more about them in a moment. Asena, you are in a fancy car being driven by Philip's chauffeur, just sort of sitting in the back of this effectively 1930s-style limo. Just alone with this guy who may or may not be your brother.
Okay.
What's the car ride like?
Very awkward. I mean, Asana's never been in a car this nice, right? Like, she just, she had taken, what, her first car ride, like, 2 days ago?
Yeah. After living in the city for like 2 years, you've managed to use public transportation or just walk like they do in the jungle.
She didn't even know what a car was until she went to the School of Gifted Adolescence or whatever it's called. Yeah, so she's just like super uncomfortable. Also, it's very, very nice. And, you know, she... That also makes her uncomfortable. She's not one for nice and rich things, unless they're shiny. So maybe she's like rubbing her hand against like the seats, sort of caressing the fabric.
He's just sort of watching you as you do this. Yeah. By the way, there is an act of God that literally involves Asena seeing something shiny. Just putting that out there.
Can't wait. Can't wait for that. But yeah, I mean, she's not really asking any questions, just kind of like chilling until she gets there. I don't know. I imagine she's very nervous. Doesn't really know what to do. Like, she's just like, I don't even think she knows what she's going to ask when she gets there.
Philip is the kind of person, some guy, thank you for the gifted subs. That triggers an act of God.
Oh my God.
Already?
Yeah, and Asena, since John already drew one and the action is currently on you, I'm just going to go ahead and have you draw it.
Okay.
Poof. I give this a shuffle.
Genesis, real quick, before you draw the card.
What?
I swear to God, if you draw ninjas, we're going to have a talk.
No, it won't be ninjas.
It's just going to be a talk. Okay. I like
that. I just want to quote, Vaz just said it won't be ninjas. Just want to put that out there.
Okay.
I feel like we shouldn't take too much attention to it. Just, you know, it's a casual prediction.
Meet the neighbors. Activates a location encounter for the area you currently occupy.
Ooh.
All right.
In the car?
No, it's where the yes, car demons attack. This is now a Stephen King film.
All of the gears come to life.
That is actually 100% viable. That could totally happen. All right, chat. Let's mark off. Let's figure out what the actual like route is so we can pick a nice area of town for something interesting to happen in. So, you are here. You need to get here. I'm inclined to say that this fancy car is going to avoid going through the Garment District in Mercury City. It's going to head through, up through Gloverton, and then through, actually, no, it makes more sense to go like, traffic simulator.
I mean, I imagine Phillip's like going to be driving me through the Tomorrow Town.
Oh yeah, taking you on the Tomorrow Town tour? Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, so this is the rough path.
Over there, you can see Splash Mountain. It's, you know, going to be really nice one day.
And if you look out the left side of the car, you'll see the backside of water.
Woo! Two shows in a row with that joke. Let's keep it going.
Run it back.
To throw it in everywhere now.
Run it back. And you've got my chauffeur here who weighs up to 5,000 pounds and can jump over 25 feet. And he's the only animal in the jungle who can do that.
I told you guys it wasn't going to be ninjas. I manifested it.
You did. You did, and I appreciate you for that.
I can't wait for Beatdown to get a card and for his card to be ninjas. That is going to make...
You put that juju on me, I think.
That would just be my luck.
That is going to make my life when it happens.
I was attached to Gaston. I'm going to miss him.
Why did I have to kill Gaston specifically?
Just because you're the one who'd be the most upset about ninjas, you know?
That's true.
It's the opposite of manifesting something.
Let's hope by then, when that happens, when slash if that happens, I'll have a GoXLR so I can do the censor button. Because I'm gonna say a swear, that's happens. For sure. I've already accepted it. Now that he's brought it, yeah, something like that.
Let it happen. All right, I know what's up. So as you drive through Greenvine, which is where the old money, the big old fancy mansions that have been around for 50, 100 years or longer, and you pass through Gloverton, which is the fastest growing new development, very middle class, very planned suburb, Irvine vibes if you're from Southern California. over the river.
Is there a Taco Bell headquarters?
Home to Ice Storm Entertainment.
You're a funny guy.
You go over the bridge, and now you're in Bouchard, which is right next to Tomorrow Town. And Philip is really excited to talk about Tomorrow Town. It's got very modernist skyscraper designs. A lot of the city of Northport is based in old ideas, but I've taken the very latest architectural inspiration from around the world and the most modern techniques to design a new urban living environment. He launches into the spiel, but then he remembers halfway through his description, he already told the group of you that Tomorrow Town is being designed to channel the combined psychic energy of all the people of Northport into a shield that will protect this town from whatever was summoned years ago during the expedition to the Zilquian jungles. He and his mother are working on this, and they are consorting with the spirit of Josiah Parsons, somebody who died on that expedition, in order to build all this. So he goes into his medium mode speech. Philip is very used to being around people. You've seen people like this before, Asena. They like to talk and talk and talk, and they sort of put on this weird air. It's very insincere, even when it's not mean or cruel. It's a very insincere attitude. You've met a lot of people like this before, but it keeps failing.
I usually punch him in the face.
It keeps failing for a couple of reasons. One, he's already revealed all these secrets to you, and two, he just doesn't know how to interact with you. He just has no idea. This unspoken possible context between the two of you is distracting him. He's used to being in total control at almost all times and just effortlessly mastering crowds. And one, you literally grew up in the jungle and none of his tricks work. And two, he's just, again, he keeps on thinking about the fact that you might be a long-lost sibling, either his long-lost sibling or his girlfriend's long-lost sibling. Either way, it's really weird. And as he's sort of going through this and breaking down, the car comes to a stop. He gets a little distracted. Driver, what's going on?
It's a motorcade, sir. A military motorcade coming through. Might as well make yourselves comfortable. This could take a moment.
And
military.
Yeah. And Asena, as you look out the window, you see a whole convoy of vehicles. They're leaving the Fort Fitzgerald Army Base. And they are heading up this way, directly in a line through where you're breaking off. There's a couple of, like, armored off-road vehicles, some transports, lodgy truck. It's blaring Fortunate Son in the background. You know the works. And as it goes, there's one car, a very, very slick, almost like Cruella de Vil's car from the 101 Dalmatians cartoon, except 100% just smooth, glossy black with this curved, long engine front. And as it pulls through, it catches your eye and it sets off something, a feeling you haven't felt since you were alone in the jungles at night, surrounded by only predator and prey.
Oh, God.
And for a brief moment, you can see through with your night vision, your enhanced predator vision. You can see through the tinted windows. There's a man sitting in the back seat. He's got neat, cropped sort of black and pepper hair. He's wearing sunglasses. He's got this gray suit on. Is there a crow on his shoulder? You blink and the crow is gone and the car just drives onward.
That's so creepy.
As the motorcade makes its way towards Bailey Hook.
What's Bailey Hook?
That doesn't mean anything to you. It also doesn't mean anything to Matt, but it's where he currently is.
Oh, God. Oh. They're headed to Matt.
All right.
Matt is safe at his home in Lakeside. John, however.
John. I'm going to drive out of the game.
Who's Mike?
Who's Mike? Who the heck is Ninja Man Mike?
Third base. All right. Asena, after this odd encounter and a few more cars go by, they continue to drive through the studio district, a part of town you're familiar with. You've worked in here. You've sung through here. Where all the stunts are done. And eventually they make their way up into Newton, where there are already these older skyscrapers. Very Art Deco. Think Empire State's Building, right? That old school style. And you arrive at a very fine building just down the block from Pinnacle Bank, which is the tallest building in the whole city. There's a butler at the door. There's red carpets. There's chandeliers in the lobby. There's a modern elevator. You know, you've got busboys ready to bring your things, take your coat if necessary. This is a high-end apartment. And we're going to check back in with you in a moment, unless there's something you'd like to do before we turn over to Gaston.
Before we head in or whatever, I'm going to ask Philip if he saw anything weird with the motorcade.
Well, I mean, with that much brass, it's got to be somebody big. A general, maybe? Don't know why they'd be moving on their way out, but no, I didn't see anything odd. Did you?
Yeah, well... Yeah, there was I got a weird vibe, you know, like sort of a just a general bad feeling. Does that ever happen to you?
He thinks about it for a moment. Roll an insight check, Asena.
Okay. Sibling senses tingling.
Should have popped out my character sheet.
It's all good.
Oh, thanks for reminding me.
I have everyone's total. Character sheets popped out at all times.
What?
Really?
Yep.
Thought about popping out other people's sheets.
In case you guys need help, I'm always there. Always watching.
Hey, look at me.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. 20. Dirty 20.
Yeah. I don't think we ever clarified for Janessa last time when she asked what the difference between a dirty and a nat 20 was.
Ah, yeah. For, you get it, right?
I get it.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I got a 5 on insight, so I really rolled a 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then I added 5. I did maths. And it
yeah. Perfect. Exactly.
I figured it out.
We woo! Did it.
Look at me getting better.
Pack it in, guys. We beat D&D. Let's go.
D&D's finished.
All right. So when you take a look at Philip, you see a few emotions pass through his eyes. He's very good at sort of keeping himself guarded, keeping that charming exterior, and maintaining this air of mystery. But again, you're not from the city. You see through this. There's a moment of incredulity where he's kind of like, you got a weird vibe. Then there's a moment where he reconsiders. He obviously didn't sense anything off of it. And his first reaction was to sort of be like, yeah, sure, you felt something. And then he was like, given everything I've seen, given everything I've learned so far, maybe. But he doesn't seem to have a lot more useful information than that.
Okay. I don't think I'll tell him, but maybe I'll just be like, that's weird. I've just never really seen a crow around these parts. There's whatever. It's probably nothing.
Shall we go up and see Mother?
Sure. Let's do it.
All right. He offers you his arm as like an instinct. It's just part of his normal, you know, operating procedure. What do you do?
She's just gonna look at it. I mean, maybe just sort of like pet it.
Oh, thank you. It was a little spot of dust. Yes, perfect. You got it. Good job.
Is the cat still with you, Asena?
Oh yeah, I was taking the cat with me.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. That...
Oh,
can
I?
Chester just jump up into his open arm.
Asena, you go first, and then we'll do that.
Can I, like, sort of, like, I'm not speaking out loud, mm-hmm. but kind of, like, pet the cat's head and sort of, like, think about what I saw and sort of be like, you should see that too, Chester? It's kind of, I don't know if you noticed, but something was weird.
Hmm.
We'll think about it later, though, but just try to, like, message that to the cat.
Okay, you've got an animal bond. I think we can work with that. Anything else? Chester then hops up onto the arm just after he got the fuzz removed and sheds all over it.
Beautiful. When we're going in and somebody tries to take my coat, I'm definitely not giving it up. Like, that's all right. Fine.
So the valet is like, take your coat, madam. Just gets his death glare right back at him. Very good, madam.
That's all.
All right. Gaston, aside from Florence Giotto in the pod, did you leave anybody else at your laboratory?
I don't think so. I mean, all the gifted kids should be at the school now. Who was, we have Saul. Whatever happened to him? Didn't he just go off to do his own thing, or he's working out at the docks now?
Yeah, he's got his boat, and he's lurking by the docks, picking up odd jobs, sort of acting on retainer. If you need to get across the city without being noticed, he can ferry you.
Oh, beautiful. But yeah, there shouldn't be any person at my lab.
Mm-hmm.
Except for, like you said, Florence.
Mm-hmm.
Am I forgetting something?
No, I just wanted to make sure. I just wanted to check.
Okay. Got you.
You left at roughly the same time as Asena, so I feel like you might pass the motorcade as well, crossing the bridge here into Dockside.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that registered for chat. Now, what inventions are lying around? What are you working on in your spare time over here? I know that Hara wanted everything on her desk today, which, when Hara wants something, it's sort of a lot of impetus. But what projects are currently scattered on? What has Gaston's focus at the moment?
I have a list somewhere. Let me pull that up. I know that little robot helper who apparently doesn't like water, according to that very strange child, is definitely on the list. I have that. Wow. Currently, I have everything that has come to mind except for that small android. For now.
All right. Is there anything else you want to handle while you get all of the notes gathered up and together? Do you have any other business?
I would like to make more EMP grenades because I definitely used... I actually think I used all of them in that last encounter. So I'd just like to re-up all my consumables, shock charges,
sonic
charges.
It's going to take you at least an hour, probably a couple of hours to whip all that stuff up. Restock your inventory. Make sure you've got notes on everything that you are carrying. You brought in a bunch of new supplies from Dr. Zorbius's laboratory as well.
I remember
bits, bobs, pieces, exotic compounds and rare elements, stuff like that. So if you have any ideas for what you want to do with that, we're going to, unless you have anything else you want to do right now, we're going to catch up with you when you get back to the academy. But think about anything else you want to build or cook up in the meantime.
Yeah, one thing I did want to add that I just remembered was when we were at Thornacre, I found a bunch of silver. And I want to make silver bullets as well.
Oh, smart. Okay. All right. Let's start you out with 10 silver bullets. Anything else?
No, that's all for now. All
right. John, are you... You dropped, you're not meeting with Dr. Strickland. You're heading to Bailey Hook and tailing the would-be attackers, right?
Well, yeah, I was going to meet with him, and then some shady figures tried to kidnap him. And I can meet with him almost any time, but only right now can I follow these apparent kidnappers that want Strickland.
Okay.
So, yes.
John, they drive sort of in circles. They take some odd pathways just to make sure that they're not being tracked. Roll a stealth check to drive casual.
Oh, yeah. I'm super cash. Incredibly cash. Also, I got, I forgot, I got inspiration in chat earlier for picking being a dealer and stuff.
Ooh.
So in case I screw everything up, I have that. Stealth, 15.
All right. Do you want to cash that in or are you good?
What I would like to do, if you are okay with this, I don't know how much this would modify things at all, but every few blocks, I just want to hit a silent image cantrip on my current vehicle to where it like changes like the just general color or look of the car.
Okay. I like that. I like that. Roll an Arcana check.
I'm on it. Arcana. What? Oh, I will use something for that. However, I'm going to go ahead and use one of my lucky dice. And let's try Arcana on this. There we go. That's much, much better.
A little bit, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
As I was tracing the runes in the air that I used to activate my magic, I hit a bump and I accidentally turned the car into the clown ambulance for just a moment before switching it back.
Did I lose you guys?
No, I'm here. All right, I was cool. Just waiting for you to...
No, stop honking and start actually doing stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, there's this brief moment. Soon, John, you realize this car is heading directly to the Coast Guard base.
OSCG base?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That's a military base.
I make the car look like a military car.
Okay. They pull up to the gate, they talk to the guard, they show ID, and the guard lets them into the military base.
Super. I pull up. However, I am going to...
You didn't bring your psychic paper with you. What's the plan?
Nope. I have plan. I have many plan. I have lot plan. So, mate, how much of my actual plan that I sent you earlier to get this car actually went through?
Oh, I'm going to confess I have not read up on that. And that's way buried in our chat.
No, just making sure, because some of that stuff had high-level spells that I was only going to use if it, like, came to it. So I'm just wondering if one of them, for instance, was a pretty powerful spell that I, if I didn't need to use it, I'd like to use it here.
Okay, yeah, what I'm asking. That's fine. It was part of your original plan. I'm going to allow that.
Okay, perfect. So when we pull up, I am going to make myself, I'm going to make the car look like a just military vehicle, and I am going to disguise myself to look like Lucetia Segumo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Who that?
He is a... contact that I have in the military.
All right, so you disguise your vehicle, you pull up, the guard, you know, comes up over and identification, you roll down the window and he snaps to attention. General, sir.
At ease. Open the gate. I'm in a hurry.
Yes, sir. Should we expect the rest of the motorcade? We didn't expect shortly. You by yourself.
Well, that's why I'm the general and you're watching the door. Let's go.
Roll an intimidation check with advantage.
Yeah. 21.
Right this way, sir. Go ahead. And then the guard lets you through, and the base sort of starts to bustle alive because holy crap, the general's here. The Coast Guard base.
Can I just chime in real quick?
Uh-huh.
We rolled two acts of God. One of them was for me. One of them was for Asena. And I like how you made hers end up becoming mine also.
Well, yours just added the kidnapping attempt. Hers added the general. And I figured, why not have, all roads lead to Rome?
Uh-huh. That's cool. Just checking in.
If people are giving us their support, the least I can do is make your lives difficult with it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You pull in, and you're not really going to be left alone. Like, you're going to have attendants checking in on you, commanders reporting in to you. You're driving past. There's docks. You've got some Coast Guard ships, interceptors, the likes, a bunch of barracks, warehouses, garages for storing vehicles, fence around the whole perimeter, lookout towers to survey the beaches and the waters, all that sort of stuff.
Nice. I've not been here before, as I recall.
I don't think you've been to the Coast Guard base. You've been to Fort Fitz, but you haven't been here.
Yep.
What's your plan, by the way, now that you're in the middle of all these people and you've been informed that the general is on his way?
You're asking a lot of weird questions that don't need to actually come up yet, so I'd like you to get all the way off my back right now until it needs to be a thing.
All right, then what are you doing at this exact moment before we pan over to Asena?
At this exact moment, I'm looking for those goons that apparently are military that were trying to kidnap Orlin Strickland. I'm going to make a beeline to them and pull some high-level, hey, I need to speak to you in my office shit.
All right, roll an investigation check.
I can do that thing that you just asked.
This is a flat check, unless you spend some of your deduction dice on it.
Yes, that is a really good point. The deduction dice I can use before you say if it succeeds or fails, but after I roll, so let me just real quickly roll my investigation. I'm fine with a 23.
Okay. You quickly track them down. They have parked the vehicle. They've hidden the car. Not like, they hid the car like they're not supposed to be here, but they got it into a garage. They threw a tarp over it. They've changed into their uniforms. They are army. And you're able to track them down, and they say, sir.
Gentlemen, about your recent mission, I have to brief you about how things ended up not going as well as planned. Can you please meet me just over here? And I'm going to find a very... hopefully as part of my investigation, I was keeping a look around, and I want to find something that looks like an office that I can step in, do the whole like, hey, I need this. Everyone who isn't me and these guys, get out. And, just use the image of Lutetius to strong arm my way through this.
Okay. Yeah. You're able to get the two goons. You commandeer like a lieutenant or a captain, somebody who's high-ish ranked to have a nice office, but not so high ranked that they're going to get noticed. Take over their office, shove everybody out, and you've got the two goons standing at attention in the office as you take a seat behind the decent desk.
And without even a further note, as soon as the door closes, Leticia Sugumo turns his very intimidating, but somehow just calmly assured expression towards the hulking goons.
Mm-hmm.
Well... report, gentlemen.
Oh, sir, we've been tailing Dr. Strickland as ordered. We thought we had an opening today, but we aborted because our goal is not to attract attention. We thought we had an opening. We figured we'd just do a few more beats, maybe get him after his late night classes. Barbershop quartet practice didn't really work out, but we thought we had attracted a little bit of heat, so we wanted to get out of the area before we return in a different vehicle.
Heat, please clarify.
Just students in the area asking after him. Just too many eyes. Nothing unusual. We don't think it was one of his co-conspirators, but we can't rule that out.
And which cell are you specifically speaking about?
The student. Believe
this could have been
the student cell, of course. The ones that he's been indoctrinating at night, as far as our reports show.
And speaking of those reports, do you have any on hand at the moment?
No, we don't carry those with us, but we're pretty sure we could get those for you very quickly. We just need to talk yes. to the Office of Records over here.
I just need the most updated dossier that you have. If you can quickly get that and come right back.
Yes, sir, General, sir. And they're going to head out the door. This seems like a good place to hand it over to Asena, unless there's anything else, John.
Nope, I'm good. I need time, so go.
Okay.
I mean, I'm perfectly capable of doing this without anything, but please, go ahead.
All right. Asena, the elevator brings you up into the very top. Well, okay, it's the Pinnacle Bank. Not the top, but like the top few floors, right? The Pinnacle Bank building has a lot of offices and such, but there are a few private residences at the very, very top. Everyone here is wearing hats and furs and sparkling gowns and fancy cigarette holders and fine tuxes and gold watches, all of that. There's flowers, and somehow classical music is being pumped in through a speaker system, which back then would have been pretty difficult to pull off. It's all super, super fancy. And as you go up the elevator into the lobby, there's a hubbub of people coming and going. They're carrying like little trays of food and drawings of centerpieces, all sorts of stuff going on. It's like it's enough activity that you almost have to push your way through. What do you do as you draw closer to the penthouse?
I'm definitely taking some of the little like hors d'oeuvres or whatever. That's in me, that's for sure.
Excuse me, madam. Those are for the... Philip waves at them and they say, no. Very well. Very good. Is it to your liking, miss? It's like a little doughy sort of crumbly pastry with some meat in the middle.
She likes it, but she also wants to mess with them, so she's just going to be like,
Somebody else, seeing this, immediately latches on and comes over with a plate of stuffed olives. That's why I recommended these. Our caterer is much more equipped to handle the refined palate such as yourself, madam. Here, he shoves the other guy out of the way. Please, try one of these.
She's going to try that, but that's even worse. I mean, at least the other one had meat in it.
Like, do you just chew it and make a face, or what do you do?
Yeah, she's still going to swallow it, but mm-hmm. it's going to be, like, a tough time. But she's also sort of hoping that this will just start, like, a war of the caterers, and she'll get more food.
give me a deception check. Or okay. intimidation. It'll have a different outcome. Pick one of those two skills. 19 on deception. Oh, my God. All right.
This is pretty good.
People see this stranger with Philip Carrington, and they start gathering around. Soon you have little tiny cake bites. You've got some sort of, like, cheese on a stick with a grape. Some sort of little, like, a ceviche. Somebody appears to have prototyped gelatin desserts before they were a big thing. They're just, like, shoving all these things in your face, and they've got business cards. And they're all clearly competing to, like... There's this thing, this wave that goes out through polite society the moment that they think somebody with clout has entered, as they all just focus in on this area and immediately decide that whoever this lady is, she's clearly a kingmaker, and whoever she approves of is going to get this contract. So your pathway to the fine double doors that lead into Jasmine Ruiz Carrington's penthouse is now blocked by a swarm of caterers. There's a few decorators... And, like, musicians trying to get... They're not really involved with this. They're just trying to come and go, and suddenly there's a traffic jam in the way. And you have your selection of all sorts of delicious food.
Yeah, I'm going to try them all. And then, like, amidst, like, stuffing my face just to Philip, be like, I think I like this place.
Philip gives you a look.
Cool. Oh. Okay. I mean, I'm pretty full. And I'll just, like... I'm just going to point to the cheese guy and be like, I like that one. That one's great.
Ah, excellent. Excellent. As you walk, as Philip sort of gently guides you through, thank you, everyone. We'll be in touch about the gala. Yes, just go ahead.
Oh, my God.
You can hear the cheese guy whispering in the puff pastry guy's ear,
You and your pathetic chef will never make it into the upper class. I will conquer all of you! Slap!
Ooh. I like him. I picked good.
And then the security ushers the two to the elevator before things can break out into an all-out food fight. To assain his infinite disappointment.
That was lovely.
All right. The doors open into the not the lobby. The it's like a lobby, but in a house. It's a better word for it than entryway. Language is important. Like, if you say lobby versus entryway... What?
A foyer?
Foyer! See, foyer and entryway are two... They mean roughly the same thing, but totally different context. This is a foyer. Thank you, Matt. Inside this room is Jasmine Ruiz Carrington.
Oh...
She's wearing the very latest fashions. She's got this, you know, bejeweled headband with a feather, satin gloves, very, very up-to-date dress, big earrings dangling down, all sorts of big jewelry. It all matches in mostly silver tones. And she's in the middle of talking with somebody who's carrying a bouquet of flowers and just... wincing away from her. As you get closer, you can hear her say, "Listen here, if I wanted last season lilies, then I would have asked you to, because if we don't have white roses for this, my entire family is going to come down on your house and put a, so that from henceforth you're going to have sideways. Don't you ever walk at me with this." Terribly sorry, Mrs. Ruiz Carrington, please, mercy!
I guess Asena's eyes are gonna get, like, really big. She's also gonna, like, whisper to Philip and be like, I think I could be related to her.
So you can see yourself out. He scrambles. You can just see, like, the shrapnel of this human spirit dripping from them as they stumble into the lobby. The flowers that he was carrying seem to have wilted from this verbal onslaught. He does not make eye contact as he shuffles out of the lobby. "Philip, darling, lovely to see you. Come in, please. Can I get you a brandy, a whiskey?" Philip is a little caught off guard as he looks from his mother to you. Do you do anything?
I think I'll just, like, glance between the two of them. I mean, I also want a whiskey, but I'm not gonna say it. So I'm just gonna be quiet.
Just a water from me, mother. This is Asena. Hello, dear. Where's Opal? Not with you today?
I'm just gonna, like, squeak out, like, a hello. We were just with Opal and decided to come say hi to you.
She gives you a look and ashes her cigarette in its holder. Mother, could we be alone, the three of us, for a moment? She eyes you, ushers out the usher, the cleaning guy, any remaining vendors. They all scuttle out. They close the door, and she invites you into the lounge, which overlooks the city. It's got a balcony on one side, big old white couches with frilly tassels on the end, smooth, dark hardwood with a fluffy carpet, like rug over the top. all sorts of odd esoteric bits and baubles, some modern art on the wall, old, fine. It's this weird mishmash where you've got this like old bureau with that's clearly polished from years and years and years. And then you've got some piece of metallic art hanging on the wall as well. It's a mishmash.
Hey, mate.
Yes.
Does Chester get the feeling, because, you know, sometimes cats know this, that Miss Ruiz Carrington would be for or against a cat either approaching her, rubbing up on her, or just generally being near her? This is not John peering through Chester. This is just the cat.
Right. Chester gets the impression that she has a short fuse. He's not sure whether or not she's a cat person.
Chester jumps out of Philip's arm, moves over cautiously to Ruiz Carrington, and if she doesn't kick him or some otherwise, like, gesture him away, he's going to just very gently rub up against her shoe, trying not to get her actual either dress or anything covered in fur, but just testing the waters here.
Roll dexterity check for Chester the cat.
Oh, shit.
It's got to be at least a plus two, right? It's a cat.
Yeah, I don't know a cat stats, so I'm just going to roll a 1d20 and you can let me know how it goes. A 13 plus whatever.
Okay, yeah, that seems fine. Jasmine looks at the cat, looks at Philip expectingly, looks at Asena, shrugs and pours herself a brandy. She seems indifferent. Can I get you anything, darling? She gestures towards you, Asena.
Oh, I would love whatever you're having.
All right, she pours you whiskey with a bit of... No, she's having brandy. Pours you some brandy. Looks you in the eye, sizing you up for a moment.
Meow.
I'll stare back at her. Blank stare.
All right. Roll a charisma saving throw.
Okay. I'm over here. Okay.
And you want, let's get something a little more jaunty going on. Let's see. Jaunty, jaunty, jaunty music. Let's do... It's not quite a perfect match, but it's closer to the scene. All right, she eyes you, gets a read for you. She's shrewd. She's perceptive. This is somebody who... This may not be your jungle, but you recognize an apex predator when you see one, even if it's not on the same terms that you'd normally be used to. You feel out of cover, like you don't have anywhere to hide. As she looks at you, gauges you, and decides not to add any water to the brandy and hands it to you straight.
I'll take a sip and just be like, this is just how I like it. Thank you so much.
She seems a little smug, like, nailed it. All right, so when I originally wrote this scene, I had notes in here like, we'll not discuss the following topics. We'll throw people out if they ask questions, even if under the influence of truth serum. But the conditions of the test have changed. Mother, there is a possibility that, do you have that photograph, Asena?
I don't think it's on me.
All right. Who has it? Because you'd shown that to them in the previous scene. Over at the Donahue Institute. You had
Chester's got that. One second.
Chester has it? It was just like tucked into Chester's collar or something. No, I was looking for that, but I couldn't even find it over.
Well, it's possible it's not something somebody added to their inventory. Do either of you guys want it, or are you fine with Asena having it?
Asena can have it.
All right. Jasmine's face completely changes when she sees this. It's bad memories. Asena says she grew up in that airship, in the jungles. Jasmine's olive-toned skin goes pale as she takes in this information. Asena, what do you do?
So Asena is a bit quieter than normal. Mm-hmm. Normally, when she interacts with people, she's very unafraid. But the idea that she could either be related to these people or they would know anything about her backstory, like she's shared some backstory with her two new friends, mm-hmm. John and Gaston, a little bit, but nothing like crazy. And so she's a bit meeker than normal. And, you know, just she'll sigh a little bit and say, I grew up in the Zolkwian jungle. I was raised by my wolf pack. I mean, they kind of just took care of me and until they were gone, and she doesn't elaborate on that. And says, but yes, I found this photo a couple days ago, and this is my home. It was just the cave in which I lived in, and I didn't really know anything about it until I came here. That's all she'll say for now.
Jasmine takes the photo and looks at it, and her hands tremble for a moment. And she looks at you. She looks deep into your eyes, looking for something or searching for something there. It's a very piercing moment. And she stands up, walks towards another room, closed with a large dark wooden door with a lock. And she goes to unlock it, steps inside. Philip looks at you for a moment, reaches over, grabs Jasmine's brandy, and takes a hearty sip out of it before setting it back down where it was before. And then Jasmine comes back in with another picture. This one is in a frame. Roll a perception check, Asena.
Okay.
All right. As she emerges from the locked room, you smell a strange cloying incense coming out of there. For a moment, you think you see a map of the stars on the far wall and a translucent object, spiky, faceted object of some kind, sitting on a expensive desk. The mere sight of that, the light glinting off of it, sets your heart beating and a spike of adrenaline through you. It feels wrong. She closes and locks the study again and walks over to you, holding a framed photograph in her hands, and she trembles for a moment before she sets it down on the table. It is an old black and white family portrait of her husband, Augustine, who was one of the faces in your photo. A very young infant, Philip, and a young girl. And as you look back and you see that young girl in that photograph, Asena, the room around you disappears. And we'll be right back after about a 5-minute break. Don't go anywhere! Rejoin us for Coriander Society Adventures.
The story continues next time on Coriander Society Adventures. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star review on the podcast platform of your choice. For more Casters and Castles adventures, visit our live stream at twitch.tv/castersandcastles.